So this is an extended version of our conversation about beer. We were talking a little bit about the history of beer and the important role that it's played throughout humanity and civilization, about settling down so that we could actually grow grain in order to make the beer, things like that. And now we are going to see some of the product from Roger, who brought some in with. What do you have there? What are you doing, Roger?
Yeah, so
walk me through it.
One of my favorite styles of beer is called a Hefeweizen. It's a German style beer. It's essentially boiled down to a cloudy wheat beer, and so you're going to get a ton of grain. The yeast, which I think is one of the most important things to control when brewing beer, and one of the most difficult things to control. Although a lot of my brewing, I try not to control the yeast. I try to make it a good environment to do what it wants to do. Creates a great banana flavor or a little spiciness to it. So this is a Hefeweizen I recently brewed, and will be. And let me also put a plug in here. I'll be serving this at the ARC beer event. So Hangar 41, Adam and I are both a member of this brew club. It meets every second Thursday at Time to Make Wine. And we're going to host a brew event on Saturday, this coming Saturday. Tickets are online and available right now. And all of the proceeds go to benefit the Animal Refuge Center. And so I think we raised about $15,000 last year for them.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. So it's going to be this Saturday, and I think it's 3 to 7.
Sounds good.
If I recall correctly.
So Hefeweizen, we talked about Lambic, Hefeweizen, and then we've had IPA bandied about a little bit. Can you, maybe I'll ask Don, would you mind giving me like a quick rundown of the top things that you need to know about different beer classifications? No, I know we don't want to overclassify it, but for those of us who don't know, we like to kind of know a little bit about, and maybe go from lightest to darkest.
Well, there are so many.
I know, not all of them, but yeah.
I mean, you can go from an American light lager, which
well, there's
is,
Bud Light, and then from
right.
there.
And then you go all the way up to, like, Russian Imperial Stouts, or even things such as Avery's Mephistopheles, which is a very strong 18% beer, or even Sam Adams makes a beer every other year called Utopias that's 38% alcohol.
Wow.
It has no carbonation. It tastes like a port, but it's beer.
Is it kind of sweet like a port?
It is.
Yeah.
But the thing that was so interesting to me about Utopias is that when you drink it, I taste 4, 5, 6 different things throughout the drinking of that beer, whereas when I drink a port, I taste one thing.
Mm-hmm.
A very prominent thing, whatever the port happens to be, there's usually one flavor to it. Where this Utopias and other beers like it, which there aren't a lot like it, but there are other beers like it, there's many different flavors in the same drink. So beer is extremely complex. It's very, very interesting. And beer goes with – there is a beer that will go with any type of food you can possibly imagine, whereas you can't do that with all wines or with wine. Wine – there are foods that wine does not complement very well. Like there's just quite a few. But with beer, there's – and it's amazing because when I tell people they don't like beer or they tell me they don't like beer, I says, because you haven't tasted the right beer yet. My wife did not drink beer for 30 years. Now she's a full-blown beer geek. She loves beer.
Really?
And it started with matching food with beer. And once she started tasting the food with the beer or the beer with the food, she got hooked. And now she'll drink. And she still doesn't like real bitter IPAs, which are the lighter IPAs, the more malty IPAs, the kinds we tend to make. That's the type of IPA I like. They're double or imperial IPA. They have more alcohol and more malt. They're sweeter.
Yeah, I would need that sweetness to offset the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the imbalance that I've noticed
right.
in some of the IPAs
exactly.
that I've tried.
Exactly. But some people love that.
You yeah,
know, that
some
bitterness.
People do. Yeah, I just have never really gotten to it. But it seems like I know that in wine, there seems to be a natural progression of a wine drinker. They kind of start with the Riesling. They start with the
sweet.
Riesling or the, because you know what, we're coming off of, in America, we have a lot of sweetness in our beverages. We all through childhood, we have juice and juicy juice, and then we have Coke and sweetened tea. And I mean, there's sugar in almost everything. So to go to a really bitter beverage like that is kind of a leap, you know, or to go to a really dry red wine would be kind of tough. So you have this kind of progression of the palate that takes time. So I'm wondering, where would you suggest someone go as far as trying to progress their palate? If, you know, maybe they've had their Bud Light, and it's basically kind of like, no offense to Bud Light drinkers, but it's kind of not a lot going on there. Where do you go from there to kind of start expanding one's palate?
Well, as working at Momentum this past summer, I found a lot of people would come in and they would say, what do you have that's like Bud Light? And I would always lead them towards like a Hefeweizen or a lighter light lager. And this, by the way, Roger, this is excellent. I just had a
sip
of it. So you start with that and you see how they like it. And then they move on from there. They lead them to a little like another – a darker lager perhaps that still has a lighter mouthfeel to it, but it has a little more flavor to like a Dunkelweiss.
Mm-hmm. So you go into darker lager and then do you go towards the IPAs?
It all depends on the person. You know, some people are never going to like the bitterness. I mean, from what you've said, you don't like the bitter – taste of beer of the IPAs.
But
you
I do might, love you a might, Guinness. I mean, I like the
– Well, Guinness is not very bitter.
I like the dark. And then,
right. Well, a lot of people associate dark with heavy, and that's not always the case. You can have a very dark beer in color and it still be very light tasting and not as filling as you would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially Guinness.
Especially Guinness. Guinness is a very light beer technically.
Yes. Yeah.
As far as alcohol and weight to it.
Yeah, but after two of those, you're just done, you know, because it's just so – it seems so filling. You know, they used to say you could have a meal out of a Guinness. Have you heard that one?
The real Guinness, not the one we get in the United States.
Yeah, that there is a difference,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let me also answer that question because I've been doing a lot of research on that recently as someone who's opening a brewery primarily focused at mixed fermentation beer. I've found going to 10, 12 some odd festivals pouring beer and bringing a lot of mixed fermentation style beers, I find that the older folk, you know, snowbirds that come down here who primarily drink wine tend to be a little bit more more accepting of mixed fermentation beer because it's highly effervescent. It's dry. You can fruit it, and it has extremely complex flavors, mostly derived from the various yeast and bacteria that make it. And so flavors that you wouldn't necessarily think to find in a beer. So I found that, you know, a good starting point for a lot of people who, especially people who enjoy wine, is a good light mixed fermentation beer.
What does mixed fermentation mean?
So this beer you're having right here is a Hefeweizen, and Louis Pasteur did some great work in isolating commercial beer strains of yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae. And so mixed fermentation beer uses what people, or the terminology is wild yeast. And so Britannomyces is the wild yeast. It's a different type. It's a yeast. It still ferments. It creates alcohol and CO2 and all those great things. But it can ferment longer chain carbohydrates. So yeast eats sugar.
So Brett can be good in beer?
Brett is great. And I actually brought the next beer we can try is a Brett primary beer. So you use alternative source of yeast, and you also use various. So, if you go to a store, you buy probiotic yogurt. You have, you know, sour. It's good for your tummy, supposedly. I use a lot of probiotic style bacteria in the beer that I make. So,
well,
it's
Brett's
tart.
Brett can be used in wine too, but it has to be really tightly controlled. Do you have to use that tight of a control when you're using it with beer?
No, because wine is a completely different process.
If you get Brett's kind of considered a flaw in a lot of wines,
yeah,
although. Some winemakers, there's one in Lebanon specifically who's able to use it successfully, but only a little bit, and it's kind of by accident.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's because I love the flavor or, you know, the what it creates. But whenever I go out and I try a wine that has a significant, you know, a barnyard or funky flavor, you know, I really like that wine, even though it might be considered a flaw. But yeah, it's used, and that's what people deem a wild strain of yeast, and it's a flaw in clean brewing that a lot of people do.
So this beer, did you make this beer?
I did. I reuse bottles. It's
because I'm like,
effective.
Wow, you're with Sierra Nevada?
No.
That's awesome. That's really good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd get that.
It's a good quaffing beer for a hot day.
Yeah, we have plenty of those
refreshing
down here
in
Southwest Florida.
It is a little difficult to drink a full pint of Russian Imperial Stout down here in Florida.
I drink any style of beer any time of year. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Just turn up the AC.
The only style of beer that I do not drink is your American lagers. I grew up drinking those. That's all there was available.
Yeah.
And I don't like that kind of beer at all anymore, even though, you know, people call me a beer snob. But It's just a flavor and a smell that I do not care for anymore.
You're over it, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some wines I won't touch mm-hmm. anymore because I'm over it. I used to love it. And I used to, you know, and you yep. just had your time. I did that with different foods every once in a mm-hmm. while. You know, you gorge yourself on it and then you're just like, no, I can't have it anymore.
And I've done that with regular light IPAs too.
I've done that with tequila. Yeah. So if somebody wants to take their hobby of they enjoy drinking, they want to learn about the history, they're really involved in beer and the tasting and things, and then they want to take it to the next level and actually start home brewing, what kind of investment are we looking at? I mean, how far have you gone?
Well, don't tell my wife, but I've gone pretty far.
This is on the web exclusive. Just
okay, good. I've probably invested probably $1,000 into my brew system.
Yeah.
Because so, I have a 5-gallon system with the pumps and tubing and the two different kettles and a Herm's coil, which is a heat exchange recirculating mash. But you can do it very simple. I mean, you can do an extract brew where all you need is a pot and a kitchen stove and brew with extract. And so you can get into it pretty easily.
Yeah.
Don could probably talk more about it.
Yeah, what's your average investment on a home brew?
To get started with all the equipment you need and the 5-gallon ingredients kit, cost around $230.
So I could make this?
Yes, you could.
I might not have the same gift as Roger over here, but
correct.
This would be
yes.
That would be cost effective, really,
sure.
to yep. have nice, mm-hmm. good, fresh beer like yeah. that. I think I'm going to start trying that. I think I've been sold. You finally sold me. You've been here now twice. And
it
I've
is very cost effective to be a home brewer because you can get it down to about 75 cents a glass of beer if you do it effectively.
And there are also much more expensive hobbies.
There are, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And they're even more dangerous hobbies, yeah. you know. So this sounds like a not a bad one. Tell me again real quick, Roger, about the class. How do people get involved in it? Is it hard to sign up for? Do they need to go online to find it? Or
Yeah, you can sign up on the Alliance's website. There's a Facebook page. I know 8-Foot Brewing has shared it. You can sign up online, and if you do that, we'll know you're coming and be ready for you.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for sticking around a little bit longer. It's fun to talk about this, and we got to do the off-air cracking open of beers to try it. So I appreciate it. Thanks
so
much.
You're welcome.